up next segment, about 10 minutes from now. I'll get into some story time, plus a great stat if you're a K-State fan wanting to believe the Wildcats will knock off Baylor tomorrow at Bramlage, and you can't be serious, of course, is at 5:50 before we get out of here. Breaking news this afternoon about the Chiefs. The playoff game on Sunday against Big Ben and the Steelers has been moved from the noon time slot to 7:20 p.m. Central Time now because of concerns with the ice storm that is going to hit Kansas City as well as here. We're certainly worried and concerned and paying attention to that here in Manhattan. Same deal in Kansas City, so they've moved it to a night kickoff, hoping that that'll give more time for the city to adjust and be able to clear things out with so many people heading into one place. Basically, a safety concern for the fans. It was put out there as an NFL decision with information provided by the Chiefs that the NFL then based their decision on. So that's how they did that. My thought here is this either sets you up for a game that you're going to remember very easily because it could be known as like the snow game or the sleet game, the ice game, in terms of one of the Chiefs' great playoff failures, like the no punt game. What's the kicker's name that missed all the people are screaming at me now? The Lynn Elliott game where he missed a bunch of field goals, they lose to the Colts. This could get the moniker like the sleet game, something like that, if you have a heartbreaking playoff loss to the Steelers, which if you listened to me earlier, I have great fear about this one. But it also could be totally awesome. I'm reading just the Kansas City Star article here about the game being moved, and they reference at the end some of the coldest games in NFL history have occurred in the playoffs, weren't rescheduled, they were played. They bring up the Ice Bowl, 1967, played in minus 13 degrees, wind chill of minus 48. Maybe if there is a ton of sleet and ice and stuff, this becomes some kind of iconic playoff game. It does seem like it works hand-in-hand with Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs, night game, ice, freezing temperatures, people braving the elements. That does seem very Kansas City Chiefs football. But I think one way or the other, this might turn the game into a more iconic game than we would have anticipated.
The freezing rain at Arrowhead Stadium is supposed to last until 2 p.m. on Sunday, and then they are still expecting rain, but it's going to be warm enough to where it's not freezing rain. The high on Sunday is 36, and ice accumulation of up to 0.3 of an inch possible, if that makes sense. And then Sunday night, the rain will return after midnight. So expecting rain at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday just by game time. Shouldn't be freezing rain.
Interestingly enough, the ticket prices had gone way down. You could get a ticket for like $30 on StubHub before the time change. Now with the time change, ticket prices are going back up. So people now realize, hey, I got more time to get there. Might not be quite as bad weather-wise. Now more people wanting to go, and the demand for tickets increasing there. From one side of one Arrowhead Drive to the other, is this Chiefs related before I go to Royals?
No, this is just kind of funny because you could tell that front of the freezing rain moves out of the area because the high on Sunday is 36, the low on Sunday is 36.
Okay. Going to be 36 apparently.
Yep.
The Royals aren't going to play for a while. Hopefully it won't be 36 when they're playing. But today, they did avoid arbitration with Eric Hosmer. They agreed to a one-year $12.25 million contract. Arbitration just means they would have had to go in front of third party, both plead their case, and then they would decide what the salary is going to be for the player. Dayton Moore has actually never gone to a salary arbitration hearing with anybody, so Eric Hosmer is not going to be the first guy to do that. I got really excited when I first saw the alert come up on my phone that just said the Royals and Eric Hosmer reach agreement, and that was all I had read so far. I was like, they lock up Hosmer long-term this offseason? How do they do that? So he's, of course, going to be one of the guys that's a free agent in 2017 and likely moving on because with Scott Boras as his agent, he stands to likely, I would think, get a $100 million-plus contract when he signs somewhere. So I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. And then you look and see to a one-year deal to avoid arbitration. It's like, oh, okay. So we're still going to be sad at one point in time with Eric Hosmer. And I think of all the guys that are going to be free agents and that could leave or have already left, Eric Hosmer is going to hurt me the most. Jerod Dyson hurt. Wade Davis definitely hurt. But Eric Hosmer is a good mix of the production, the ultra production of Wade Davis, because that's why that one hurts. It's not that Wade Davis is some personality that has all these moments that you remember because of his personality. That to me is Jahrad Dyson. You know, we remember the speed and the fun and the whatever he was doing on the bases.
Revving the motorcycle engine.
Yeah. All that stuff. Jahrad Dyson was a really fun guy to watch from that standpoint. Wade Davis was totally robotic, but he was the most productive guy at his position in baseball. So that's where the memories come in there. Hosmer, to me, is like a combination. He's seemingly a very good clubhouse guy, one of the leaders. He does have some personality to him. He's got the haircut. He looks like a total superstar. You know, just makes you feel like he's a real star. He's got star power to him. But then at the same time, reasonably productive. Had a pretty good year last year. Had some big moments. Had the All-Star Game MVP, obviously, last year. Hit a home run off Cueto. There's been a ton of moments throughout his career and throughout the Royals' run. Some of those big homers I remember back in the 2014 playoff run. So he, to me, is like the perfect mix of all that. Just a guy who had a lot of the personality that we came to love about the Royals, and then at the same time had production to go with it. You know, because of Jahrad Dyson didn't have as much production just because he wasn't an everyday player with the team. He never really got that type of opportunity. Wade Davis had more production than about anybody, not as much personality. Eric Hosmer, I think, is a good compromise in between there, and I'm going to be very, very sad to see him go. I mean, he's not always been – I will just say this. He's disappointed at times with some of his offensive numbers. For instance, he hit just .225 after the All-Star game last year. That's not good. He's gone through cold spells and typically has been kind of streaky. But the defense is always there. He always just makes you feel like he is a real star and a guy that could wind up being a big face in Major League Baseball if he can continue to produce like this. You know, he's still only 27 years old at this point in time. And maybe that's another factor for me too. I'm 27 years old. He's 27 years old. So I look at him and say, man, you're exactly my age doing what you're doing out there for the Kansas City Royals. Like, I would love to trade places with Eric Hosmer to be that guy, be the dude that he is. Just for all those reasons. And the fact that I think he is going to sign a huge mega contract, and it seems pretty hopeless at this point in time that he's going to be a guy that sticks around. So you have a lot of time to gear yourself up for it. I think because of that, I'll be the most heartbroken by having to see Eric Hosmer walk. There are guys that would be like tougher, I think, on the team to see leave in general, like Salvador Perez seems to be the heart and soul of the team, but he's locked up. I mean, he's under club control for a very long time, so I don't think you're going to necessarily have to worry about that. A lot of people would have felt that way about Alex Gordon, but they got Alex Gordon locked up. Don't see that happening with Eric Hosmer.
Now, Alcides Escobar, is he up after this season?
Mm-hmm.
And what about Lorenzo Cain?
Yes.
1 year, 2 years?
Yes.
After this year?
Mm-hmm. They're part of the group, part of the crop.
Goodness.
Now, Alcides Escobar was the first guy that I really latched onto of this group that came up and formed the World Series core. But I love Escobar. I really do. He's up there as far as my favorite Royals, purely because of the defense, essentially. I have like a jersey shirt, whatever you want to call it, at home somewhere of Alcides Escobar that I bought in like 2010, 2011 maybe. But over time, Eric Hosmer has surpassed him. I think when I bought the Escobar thing, I didn't even really know all that much about Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, some of those guys that came up a little bit later. So they're not quite in the same realm, in the same category for me. But at least Royals have that checked off their list. They're not going to have to worry about that anymore for the rest of the offseason. Royals agreed to a one-year deal, just over $12 million for Eric Hosmer to avoid arbitration. So they have him signed up for this upcoming season here in 2017. We'll get you Can't Be Serious at 5:50 as always here on the game, but coming up next, that number one in front of Baylor's name means more than you think it does. Plus, I'll also give you one of my favorite K-State sports memories from when I was in school. So stay tuned. This is the game.